is to adopt one of our children through the Compassion International program. $38 a month. You won't even miss it. Just give up a couple of coffees and, you know, you'll change the life of a child. You really will. And we will get you a child that's involved with our programs, and then you can go on the trip and meet that child, get to know that child, watch that child literally grow up. So I think we've sponsored John probably 7 years, something like that. He's now a teenager. I'm now the dad to another teenager, so pray for me, please. But I'll tell you what, this is a good teenager, 13 years old. John loves the Lord. He, when we first started sponsoring him, he wasn't really a part of the church. He's now not only a part of the church and knows Christ and is serving him, but this was one of the awesome blessings for Tracy and I. He's now a part of the drama team. He traveled with us all week. He was a part of our Bible distribution team. It was awesome for us. We got to spend the whole week with our Nicaraguan son, John. So there's a couple presents we brought him. He's a great soccer player, so we always bring him a new soccer ball. So there's our team, and we're happy to be back and to share with you. And I'm going to let these guys share a quick word with you this morning. So God bless you.
Hi, guys. My name's Bryce. This is my second year going to Nicaragua. It was kind of a difficult trip to get there, like money-wise and getting off work and everything, but God managed and pulled through. And I was the only one in my family to go, so it's kind of crazy to wake up and think, wow, all my other family's in the United States, I'm in a third world country. So that was pretty cool. But this trip, God really showed me kind of like the power of prayer and just how humble every single person is. When you go door to door, I went on Bible distribution, and just the people that if you pray for them, tears start falling down their face, and they're just so thankful for a Bible, and it's really, truly a blessing to see. One of the times I was on Zach's platoon, and we went up to the place, and I felt God asked me to pray for her. So I prayed for her, and I think it was for her family and stuff. But after, my Spanish wasn't very good, but I could tell what she was saying, something about a dream. And she said a year ago, she had a dream that some young people would come to her house, give her a Bible, and like minister to her. So that was a really cool experience to like witness that. And yeah, and like it continued throughout the week with we prayed for each other and we washed each other's feet one day. And it's just a really humble experience. And you get over praying for someone out loud really easily if you ever have a fear of it. And so it was just an amazing trip. And I was really happy I got to go this year.
I don't know how many times I've been to Nicaragua. So probably, let's see, son, you're 18, probably 17 times, I think. Is that right? I don't remember. Maybe it's 15. Actually, it might be more 15. Anyway, okay, I'm Tracy Lamont. I'm the pastor's wife here, if you don't know me. So this trip was really amazing trip in a lot of ways. I did end up getting sick, so I was one of the first ones to get sick, which that isn't amazing, but disappointing to me. So we went on the 2nd. I had a fever about 102 on the 4th. So I was sick for 10 days, went to a doctor there who spoke English and put me on a nebulizer and antibiotic and all this stuff for about 10 days. So the last day of the trip, I finished my medicine. So I did go out on Bible distribution, though. I missed a lot of the fun day and the training and all that, which is fine. And so I really wanted to do some door-to-door Bible things. I love that. I still get really nervous because my Spanish is not very good. But I always feel like, you know, that when you put yourself in a comfortable place, you know, you grow, right? When it's hard, when an uncomfortable place, sorry, I knew I said that wrong, the uncomfortable place, the hard places, and that's really where we grow. But as I get older, I really like the comfort and the easy places, right? So that was hard for me, and being sick was really hard for me. It was discouraging to me. I got sick the year before last also, so I'm like having conversations with the Lord, like, really, I'm getting sick? And God's like, I have nothing to do with you getting sick, by the way. I'm like, oh. So we started talking, having a dialogue, me and the Lord. And the Lord said to me, I want you to trust me. Just trust me. And So I trust the Lord. I was back while the team was doing their thing. And so I began to really pray. And some of you all really encouraged me. You sent me some messages, hey, I'm praying, and, you know, just keep pressing into the Lord. Which, after I got over my bad attitude, I was able to do that and really have some good times with the Lord. I will tell you that on one particular time, I got to go out with Amanda. Amanda was with me. Amanda Colwick, the young lady back here with the blonde hair. It was really neat to be able to have her with me. She's a blessing to me. And so it was her and I, and then we had our interpreter that particular day. And I wasn't feeling 100%, but I was determined. I'm like, I am going. I'm going to give these Bibles out. And so we went to pray. I'm going to hurry because I know I don't want to take up too much time. And there was a lady. I was praying, and then I noticed her mother, who was sitting in the back and outside, and she had lost some toes. So I figured she had diabetes or something. So I thought, hey, can we pray for your mom? So my interpreter, we walked into the yard with Amanda was with me. She was on this side. My interpreter was on this side, which happens to be a gentleman, of course. And so I am telling you, as soon as everything is fine, but as soon as I lay hands on that woman to pray, this man comes running, which, you know what, if you're praying for somebody in another country, you need to keep your eyes open. Thought I'd tell you that. I know that, but anyway. A man comes running up beside Amanda, and he's totally drunk, and he starts yelling in Spanish, like he's very angry. I'm like, oh, well, this is not good. So I don't quite know what to do, and so I know Amanda is, like, really shocked, and so I was shocked. So my interpreter began to tell us, you know, what to do. And the women who are believers tried to get the man to pull him into the house. And so he was still yelling, but they took a Bible. And they had said to me, please pray for us. This is what we have to go through. Please excuse him. This is, you know, he's angry, he's scared. He really thought I was hurting his mom. That's what he thought. Just because I was laying my hands on her, he wasn't sure what we were doing. But at the time, I didn't know what was going on. My interpreter told me about that. So then later on, but I will tell you, I felt like this is spiritual warfare here. I mean, this is spiritual warfare. I start praying for somebody and, you know, someone comes here and is yelling and screaming and is very scary, and it could really shut us down. So the next house I went to give a Bible out, let me tell you, we encountered a Mormon. And normally in Nicaragua, Mormons have nothing to do with you. Like, they shut the door. They don't want anything to do with you at all. The man was like, oh, come in. I'm like, oh. I knew he was a Mormon. He told me right up front, you know, and normally he was like, come in. I'm like, all right. So me and Amanda came in with our interpreter. I gave him the Bible, and I'm like, can we pray for you? I mean, I kept pushing it, thinking he's going to tell me no. He's like, yes. He gets his whole family in there. Like, everybody comes in so I could pray for him. I mean, I'm telling you, that was the Lord. And then we went to a Roman Catholic, and a lot of times they can be very close too there. And they were very open. And everybody accepted a Bible, and the last person was Jehovah's Witness. I'm like, who? And then on the very last time, a lady was like, who? Wonderful, wonderful lady. Elderly lady, love the Lord, been serving God for 38 years. Please pray for my son, Nelson. He's an alcoholic. I'm like, of course, of course. Second alcoholic. Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, all in the same area in the same day. So, praise God, they all got a Bible, and almost all of them got prayer. So thank you for praying for us. And you know what? Just remember, when God puts you in difficult situations, it's to help you grow. Don't resist. So, amen.
My name's Cassidy, and I serve here with Youth with a Mission Louisville, and I loved being able to go on the trip. And one of my favorite things to do was Bible distribution. And it was really cool because, like, the Compassion Kids, like Pastor Jeff said, they would come out and do Bible distribution with us. And it was kind of crazy because we couldn't really understand each other, but it's amazing what you can communicate just through smiles. And I just felt like I connected with the other women that were helping and the kids connecting just because they love the Lord and we love the Lord. And that was so cool. And so we would split up into, like, small groups and go door to door. And so I was with a group with a bunch of Nicaraguans, maybe five or six, and like none of them spoke English. And it's like, okay, we're just going on an adventure together. And it was cool, like I would go up with the pamphlet and go through the thing, and I'm like, I'm not very good at this. I want them to do it. So I started pushing them forward to do it. And like these little girls that are literally this tall would go up to the houses and talk, like explain what we're doing and give them a Bible. It was just so cool for me to see the Nicaraguan people ministering in their own country at such a young age. And there's this one girl who was so bold, and like she would see me, like I would go up and pray, and sometimes I would open the Bible and read a passage of scripture just because that's a way I can communicate and share, even though I don't know the language. The Bible says the same thing, so I can do that. And it was crazy because a couple houses later, I saw the little girl going up, and she was reading Bible verses to the houses. And I just thought that was so cool how she was just learning how to minister and how to share the Bible and how to touch these families. And they're still there, and they'll be able to continue to do that. And it's just cool to see, to be a part of God's long-term vision in Nicaragua.
Hi, well, my name is Ian Grant. I'm also with YWAM here in Louisville. And I think my favorite story from this entire trip was our very first day of Bible distribution. I got to go out with a group of all Nicaraguans. I didn't have a single American with me. But luckily, I had one girl that could translate. And so we split up into our smaller groups, and we're going door to door. And we're about to finish up. And I walk past, and I just stop, and I turn, and I look. And there's this guy in a red ball cap, and he's just bawling. And one of the other groups is talking with this guy, and I can tell they're already, like, they're up in his face. They're, like, kind of getting at him, like, yelling at him almost in a way, in a loving way, and he's just bawling. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll move my group on there. I obviously got this covered. And the Lord says, no, Ian, I want you to stay. And I'm like, I don't want to stay. Like, I want to keep going. I want to finish. And he's like, no, I want you to stay. And I said, okay. And so I stop, and I wait, and I pull my translator aside, and I'm like, okay, we're supposed to stay. And then the Lord tells me, Ian, you're going to share the entire gospel with this guy. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And so I wait until the Nicaraguans finish, and then my translator asks me, she's like, hey, do you want to say anything? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And so I sit down in front of this guy who's literally just bawling. And this guy's in his probably early 20s, and he kind of looks like one of those tough guys, like he could easily be in a gang. And I sit down in front of him, and I share the entire gospel with him. And he had never heard it before, is what he told me. And after I'm done, I share the entire gospel with him, and I look him in the eyes and I say, do you want to accept the Lord? You can do that right now, right here. And he looks at me with tears in his eyes, and he says, no. And I'm like, what? I don't understand. Like, you're like bawling. I can see the Lord working in your heart, but he says, no. And so I stop, and I explain a little bit more, like, you don't need to be in a church. You don't need this. Like, the Lord wants you. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. And he says to me, I don't mess with God. And I say, okay. And I said, okay, well, at least come to our program tonight. We are having a program in the park. And I invited him to it, and he said, okay, I'll come. And then I asked him, can I pray for you? And he's like, yeah. And so I pray for him, and the only thing the Lord puts on my heart is, just break his heart, which goes along with the whole saying for the week, just break his heart, Lord. I can already see it breaking. And so I go to the program, and I'm kind of keeping my eyes open for him, and I don't see him the entire time almost. And as I'm watching these dramas about the Lord and the sacrifice he made and the different dramas, my heart just breaks, and the Lord's like, Ian, you need to pray for him because this is what he needs. These dramas that we're showing, that's what he needs. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm praying for this guy, and then one of the Nicaraguans on my team walks up to me, and he's like, come here, come here. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but okay, I'll follow you. And so we walk off all the way over to the side of the park, and there he is, the guy in the red cap. His name was Michael. And I walk up, and my translator's not there, so I have no clue what's going on. But they're like, oh, we're going to pray. I'm like, okay, yeah, come on. And I sit there, and we pray, and the guy's repeating him, and I'm starting to put things together, like, he's accepting the Lord right now. And the Nicaraguan guy just looks up at me with this huge smile, the guy I was working with, and he's like, he just accepted the Lord. And I was just amazed because, yeah, he had said no the first time. But as the Lord continued to put him on my heart and continue to pray for him, the Lord did break his heart.
So my name is Keegan. I think this was my third or fourth year in NICA. I can't remember. So this year was interesting for me because originally I wasn't going to go to NICA, and then I felt like the Lord... after a bunch of prayer, I felt like the Lord was telling me to go. So I was like, okay. So I was asked to be the drama leader this year. So I was like, okay. And So I went to Nika, was the drama leader, got there, and then got pulled aside and was like, hey, you're going to be a Bible distribution platoon leader as well. I was like, okay. And then saw the list of like the people on my team, and I was like, there's no translator on this. And they were like, oh, yeah, we know. I was like, oh, good. So I was very stretched on this trip, and there were many times where I dealt with a lot of frustration just because I had a lot in my mind. I wanted to make sure that I was doing a good job, and I wanted to make sure that I was there to serve the purpose that the Lord brought for me there. And it got to a point where it was like the third to last day or so. I was sitting in a hammock, and I was just praying and was like, God, what am I doing here? Why am I being stretched so much? If you called me here, shouldn't this be more simple than it is? And I was really confused and frustrated. And so just praying that the Lord would reveal to me what he's trying to teach me through this. And so that day, we went out on Bible distribution. And side note, because this is important to the story, a water bottle in Nika is your life. If you don't have a water bottle, you will die. Not really, but you're going to pass out. And you laugh, but that's happened several times. A little experiment, I suppose, that I have every year I go to Nika is I get a water bottle. It's a big old water bottle, and I rip the label off, and I see how beaten up it can get throughout the week. Just something I do to entertain myself. So bear that in mind. So we're on Bible distribution, and it's that day it was me, John, Pastor Jeff's Compassion Child, and Bethany Harper. We were all on a team. It was just the three of us. So I was kind of working as the translator that day. So we were going through all the places. We went to this one house and put a Bible on their doorstep, and we moved on, and Bethany stayed behind to pray for the house because she felt like that's what she needed to do. So I was like, okay, cool. We'll be right around this corner. So John and I go around this corner, and we get to this house and, you know, tap on the door, and I'm like, buenas. And this old man walks out, and I was like, okay. Totally normal, it's just a regular old man in my eyes. And so we say hello to him, we welcome him, tell him what we're doing there, and he invites us into his house. Again, totally normal up front. So we get in his house, and I start talking to this guy. And I'm like, wow, I'm actually understanding what he's saying to me, and I'm actually being able to respond. So he and I get in this conversation, and I ask him if there's anything I can pray for him for. And he starts to tell me about his family and how they're separated and how his son doesn't want anything to do with him or the church. And so my heart starts to get broken because this man has some of the kindest eyes I've ever seen in my life. And he has this bright smile, but he is telling me about all of this sadness in his life. At about this time, John gets up and walks out. So I was like, so it's just me in a house with a Nicaraguan man that I don't know. So I was like, John, get back here. The gringo needs you. Get back here. And so he rounds the corner, and I don't know where he's going. So I'm like, all right, Jesus, I'm not going to be scared. Let's do this. So I lean in, and I start listening to this man more intently. His name is Peter, by the way. So Peter starts telling me more about his family and some of his struggles. He has a lot of health issues. And then he shifts and starts to ask me to pray for the government. And that's something that in my entire time in Nika, in all of my years, I've never actually heard anyone ask that for prayer. He had such a passion for his country. And even through all the hardness that he was dealing with, he was asking me to pray for other people. And that really touched me. And so his wife walks up and starts listening to us. She's in earshot. Say hello to her. So it's me, Peter, and his wife. We're all just talking. We're all just sharing to each other about our lives, about the Lord. He tells me that he loves Americans. He loves what we stand for. And I was like, well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. And about this time, John comes back with a translator. So I was like, cool. So I start understanding Peter even more. And he starts to thank me for my time. He says, he looked at me and was like, thank you for giving me this Bible. He was like, you have a good heart. and I can see right now that God is going to use you in some crazy ways. And I was like, well, thank you. And again, this man doesn't know me, and I don't know this man, but we're talking as if we're like old friends. So about this time, his wife walks off, and so Peter and I are still talking, and she comes back with this water bottle. And I had lost my water bottle that day, so I was very thirsty and very dehydrated. So she comes back with this ice-cold water bottle that's fresh. It's fresh water, which is not something you see very often in the areas that we're in. And it is exactly the kind of water bottle that I had, but there was not a scratch on it. It was exactly like mine, to the point where it didn't have a label on it. And it was exactly like my water bottle, but was untouched. And I was like, well, that's weird. And so I took it and was like, thank you very much. So I'm talking to Peter, drinking my now fresh water. And he asks me to pray for him. So I lean in and we start praying for each other. And as I'm praying for this man in English, he starts to pray for me in Spanish. And so I'm praying for this guy. He's praying for me. I went in originally to minister to his heart, and he starts ministering to my heart. So we're praying for each other, and we get up, and I have tears in my eyes, and he has tears in his eyes, and he's like, thank you for coming and meeting me today. And I was like, thank you for giving me your time. And so we stand up, we shake hands, and we walk away. I just kind of felt like the Lord speaking to my heart, and he was like, that's why I brought you here. Because even in the midst of your frustration, I have work for you. There are things that you can be thankful for. I'm here to take you further. I'm here to refresh you. And like your water bottle, I'm here to make you new and to bless you in ways that you can't imagine right now. And I just kind of broke. It was one of those moments where I just kind of stood in content silence because the Lord spoke to me so clearly in that moment.
So this right now is stretching for me. I can talk in front of kids, I can talk in front of youth, but when it comes to adults. So just like a lot of the other teams, I didn't have a translator because they expected me to be the translator. And so, yes, I speak Spanish and stuff like that, but when it comes to like sharing the gospel and like praying for people, I kind of want to get that right, and I don't want to like start fumbling. So that was real nerve-wracking on how I was the one translating, and I was the one having to speak Spanish the entire time. And so for me, Bible distribution was also one of the biggest like impacts on my life, because I too encountered Jehovah's Witness, I encountered Catholics, I encountered just all these other religions, and what God was like showing me was that people were so hungry for the word. It didn't matter what religion they were in, because we would come and we'd give them the Bible, and the first thing that they would say is, now I can sit and compare and see what your Bible says to what like our Bible says. And so that right there was just like, wow, like people in this day and age are like hungry for what's real. And yes, they may be following a religion, and yes, they may be like committed to something already, but they're also seeking for what's true and what's real. And so that was one of the like touching moments for me, was seeing people just accept the Bible and like wanting to know more and wanting to like find truth. And then the other impactful thing was, again, I was a translator, and I got to translate for two Compassion Kids. And so it was separate moments, and the guy was giving the Compassion Kid like a backpack and was saying how his, like the people that are sponsoring him were praying for him, and the kid was just hugging this backpack. And then the guy was like, oh, and they want me to tell you that they love you. And when like he said that they loved him, the kid started crying. And the kid's like 13 years old, so I'm like, oh, it's a boy, you know, Spanish culture. You're supposed to be tough and not cry. But this kid was like hugging his backpack and just crying just because someone said that they loved him. And then the other kid, he was younger, and it was Amanda Stanley's kid. And Amanda asked me to translate. And so before I'm translating, she's like, he's shy, he doesn't talk, he just like looks at me. And I was like, all right, this is gonna be interesting. So we're talking to the kid, and his grandma's there, and his grandma's kind of telling me a little bit about the kid. And so I stop, and I'm like, Amanda, do you know the kid's story? And she's like, not really, like, I've never had a translator, so I've kind of had to fend for myself, and I don't really know what they say half of the time. So I was like, all right. And so I started translating to her and telling her the kid's story and how his parents abandoned him when he was 3. So he now lives with grandma, and ever since his parents left, he doesn't talk to anybody. And so right there, Amanda was like, oh, now, like, I understand him more, and now I know how to pray for him. And so I think those two encounters really kind of pushed my heart more in, like, sponsoring a Compassion Child. And so, yeah.
So this trip was different for me. It's my 4th year going to Nicaragua. For those of you who don't know, my name's Zach. I'm the youth pastor here. This was my 4th year going to Nicaragua, and I kind of went with the understanding that I was just going to be a floater, just kind of hands where you're needed, and ended up wearing a lot of leadership hats that I was not expecting. I was co-leader of the Bible distribution team, so I was the one that intentionally stuck Keegan with no translators and Cassidy and Ian, because we didn't have translators to spare. I was also assistant leader to Ada and the kids team and drama team, and kind of helping orchestrate that, not really in an out front role, but more behind the scenes. And then I was also the unofficial team photographer. So videos, pictures, that was my thing. But I got to say, this trip touched my heart in a way that no other trip has. I prayed before I left, because I knew what our theme was, months in advance, when Pastor Jeff and Amanda had finally landed on it, when they were showing me the design for a t-shirt and everything. So I prayed a long time ago, Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours on this trip. And it's something I've always prayed on a missions trip. And we start hitting the ground running. We're going Bible distribution door to door, and we're having incredible times. We're having incredible testimonies, hearing people coming to know the Lord, like the kid that Ian led to the Lord. I had a chance to lead a guy to the Lord named Victor, who is only a year or two older than I was. And, you know, the story that Bryce shared about, I was standing in the room when the lady said, I had a dream about a group of young people that would come and give me a Bible and pray for me. A year ago, I had that dream. I was standing there. And all this stuff, we're playing with kids in the parks, we're seeing the poverty, and none of it's doing it. It's not routine, it's not, you know, watered down to me, but I'm still experiencing it. But there was nothing that was just, you know, breaking my heart. I was still feeling for these people. I was still loving on them. I was still, you know, worshiping and praying over all of them, but nothing was really clicking. And I think it was the second to last day, or maybe it was two, I think it was either the second to last day or 2 days before the last day. Pastor Jeff, you know, has his booklet, and he says, hey guys, still have a list of about 14 kids here that need to be sponsored. 14 out of the 18 that we have still need sponsors. And I've been praying about sponsoring a child since last year when I went to Nicaragua. And I talked to my wife Ada about it a couple times and told her that I really felt like this was from the Lord and I wanted to do this. But when in the season of new job and trying to get married, money was very come and go. I would have a lot of money at one point, and then I'd have no money at one point. So I didn't want to sponsor a child when I knew I couldn't for sure keep up that commitment. Well, we're on the trip, and we decide we're going to sponsor a child today. And so I said, Pastor Jeff, let me see that booklet. He throws me the booklet down the bus, kind of like a Frisbee. I catch it, and I'm like, well, how are we going to pick a kid? And she looks at me, and she says, this is what we're going to do. You're going to pray. You're going to look at the list. You're going to find a name. Then I'm going to pray. I'm going to look at the list, and I'm going to find a name. And if we land on the same name, we know that is the child that the Lord has put on our hearts. Now, it's kind of almost as bad as, like, you know, flipping and pointing in the Bible and finding a verse. Lord, what do you want to speak to me today? Oh, it kind of felt like that, but here's how much of a God story it was. We end up landing on the same name on the first try. Israel de Jesus Torres Soles. That is our child's name. And Pastor Jeff said that there was going to be opportunity on the second to last day to meet our children if we sponsored them today. And so we're like, okay, well, we're going to go with Israel. And we put our names down next to his, and we started the process. Well, the next day we're starting our morning off right with Bible distribution. I'm in go mode. I'm like getting all the Bibles organized. Me and my co-leader, Pastor Shane, we're making sure we got our numbers right. We're just like, okay, three Bibles per person, you know, making sure all the platoon leaders know where they're going. And Ada comes up to me and she says, "Have you met our compassion child yet? He's here and he's looking for you." Instantly my heart jumped. And I followed her into the church and I saw him. He hugged me, and he didn't just hug me, he embraced me. Hadn't met each other yet. It took everything in me not to cry right then and there. But as we're sitting there with him and his grandmother, we had a couple extra soccer balls that we took down with us, and we gave him one, and we gave him a green one. And as we're sitting there talking with his grandmother, we found out a lot about Israel. Israel's favorite color is green. My favorite color is green. Israel's birthday is September 30th. My birthday is September 25th. Israel loves Dragon Ball Z and Power Rangers. I love Dragon Ball Z and Power Rangers. I still have a Power Rangers pillowcase that I sleep with. Call me childish, but I love it. And as we went outside to play with a soccer ball and Ada was talking to his grandmother, he walked by me in front of all his friends as if he was walking with a proud son and his dad. And we kicked a soccer ball, and we had a good time just in the barrio streets of Sandino, kicking a ball. He even said to Ada, he said, "I can't understand him. His accent's weird." My Spanish did improve, but my accent is still very, you know, southerner. But Every time I thought it would be the last time I'd see him for the trip, I'd hug him, and he and I would just have a moment. And then, like, 5 minutes later, we ended up meeting each other again at a different church, at a different program. He actually went and did Bible distribution with us one time, and that was awesome. We walked through the streets holding Bibles. We went and prayed for people. His grandmother told us so much about him. He does have a mom and dad, but they work a lot to the point where grandmother is the primary caregiver because they work so much. They are Christians, but because they work so much, they're not really in his life. We actually had a chance to meet his uncle, his aunt, and one of his cousins, and his sister, actually. We had a chance to meet a lot of the family. And I wanted to give him a Bible so bad because he didn't have his own Bible. And he told us that his mom and dad got mad at him because he read their Bible so much more than they did. The kid is highly intelligent. His grandma told us that he can sit and read chapters and chapters of books at a time. That's not something I've ever been able to do. I used to be able to do long division in my head, but I've never been able to read chapters at a time. But the point of all this is, you really don't understand how much of a difference you will make in someone's heart, in someone's life, when you are able to provide basic needs for them. Compassion Children, your $38 a month, if you sponsor one or if you do sponsor one, goes to providing clothes, health care, education, church activities, all these different things that most kids in Nicaragua just don't get. And I can tell you right now, I'm counting down the days. I'm counting down the days until I get to see Israel again.
Amen. Well, would you stand with me? Thanks for being here today, and thanks for listening to our hearts. Hopefully something you've heard today maybe touched your heart, maybe even began to break your heart with things that break God's heart. I know a lot of the testimonies revolved around the Compassion Kids. I can't tell you how powerful that is. I mean, how incredibly powerful it is. I remember last year, Pam, getting to take you and having you meet your compassion child, and how powerful that was. I just checked my list. While we were there, I literally called Colorado Springs, which is the headquarters of Compassion International. I spent a a long time on the phone one day in Nicaragua, and I found that we had 18 children in our new compassion program out at the orphanage. 18 kids that were unsponsored. 15 of the 18 had been on a waiting list for over 4 months waiting for a sponsor. And I just checked the list. I think we have 3 or 4 left. So if there's any of you and you feel the Lord just tugging on your heart to be a part, sponsor that child and then go with us next year. It's kind of our dream, you know, that every one of you would go at least once and get that personal hands-on experience that is life-changing. But thank you, every single one of you, for being a part, for praying, for sending, for supporting. However, we really, really appreciate it. So let's pray. Father, thank you for these testimonies today, Lord. Sometimes a testimony preaches even more than a message, a sermon. Just hearing what you're doing in each other's hearts, it encourages our heart. It challenges our heart to be more like you, to step out of the comfort zone, to do some things that might seem a little different or unusual, but things that are in line with your word and your heart for lost people all over this world. God, thank you for every single person that was touched during this trip. Lord, literally thousands of people were impacted by this team of 58 as they went into the streets every day and ministered your love in lots of different ways. God, thank you for all that you did. May the Holy Spirit continue to breathe on the seeds that were planted. May there continue to be water brought to those seeds. May a great harvest of fruitfulness spring up, Lord, out of every seed that was planted. And God, our hearts, the way you've broken our hearts, the way you've challenged our hearts, may we continue to seek you and listen for your voice and be obedient to what you're calling us to do to make a difference in this world for your glory. Go with us now, bless us through the week, and let our light shine brightly for you, Jesus. Everybody said amen? Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming today.